The epistle appointed to be read for this, the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, all we who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. For we were buried with him by means of baptism into death, in order that just as Christ has arisen from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be so in the likeness of his resurrection also. For we know that our old self has been crucified with him in order that the body of sin may be destroyed, that we may no longer be slaves to sin. For he who is dead is acquitted of sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live together with Christ. For we know that Christ, having risen from the dead, dies now no more. Death shall no longer have dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives unto God. Thus do you consider yourselves also as dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Mark. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, when there was a great crowd with Jesus, and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples together and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd, for behold, they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away to their houses fasting, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from a distance. And his disciples answered him, how will anyone be able to satisfy these with bread here in the desert? He asked them, how many loaves have you? And they said, 7. And he bade them, brought the crowd recline on the ground. Then taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to distribute. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few little fishes, and he blessed them and ordered them to be distributed. And they ate and were satisfied, and they took up what was left of the fragments, 7 baskets. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he dismissed them. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, this morning I am going to more or less restrict myself to a type of announcement making or a little clarification makings that would be, I think, appropriate and helpful. First of all, during these 2 or 3 weeks, we have been putting in the bulletin a description of the monastic life. This is in preparation of our own, one of our monks is to take his solemn perpetual life vows on July the 11th. And we thought it would be a good idea to present the way of monastic life, especially to our young men and women who are part of our church and who come here and need to see what monastic life is, in the hopes maybe that it might be a vocation here someplace in the church, which would be a tremendous blessing. And I ask you to please read these instructions. We had one last Sunday, have one today, and have one again next Sunday, and to see what monastic life is. And you don't need me to tell you because it's already in the bulletin. Therefore, I recommend the bulletin to you. There will be catechism class this morning. This week, we will have three large and important feast days. We have the feast of St. Peter and Paul. We have the feast of the Precious Blood. And we have the feast of the Visitation of Our Blessed Mother. I think that we should talk a little strong to St. Peter and St. Paul and not be afraid to do so. That after all, what we're doing, that we have got the strength of character enough to stand up with courage to protect and to stand up for that which those two men once upon a time started. Of course, it was the Christ of the Church of our Lord, we know that. But they were the ones that actually got the thing in motion from our standpoint. And so, to my way of thinking, it is to their great interest that they help us to continue that which they started. Therefore, I recommend these two men to you, these two saints to you. Friday is the Feast of the Precious Blood. We might put this feast as being somewhat secondary. It isn't. This is remembrance of the precious blood that our blessed Lord himself shed for us. One drop of this blood would have been more than enough. Would have been far more than enough to have redeemed all of human race. But our blessed Lord came here for more than one reason. Not only did he come here to redeem us, but he came here to show us, to teach us how to profit by the redemption that he performed for us. And what does he ask of us? That we not just shed one drop of our blood, but he asks of us that we must be willing to give every drop of our blood if necessary. And so on Friday is the Feast of the Precious Blood. Now, it is also First Friday. And as all of us know, we have adoration all day on First Fridays. Unfortunately for some of you, to participate in this is out of the question. And I know it, we know it, and you know it. We will expose the Blessed Sacrament in the monstrance after the 8 o'clock Mass on Friday morning. Now we're introducing something that we have not done before, and we will be doing it on a regular basis, but not just right away. We are going to start having, we will have it this coming Friday at 5 o'clock, beginning at 5 o'clock, we will have Vespers in front of the Blessed Sacrament exposed. And as soon as Vespers are over, we will have benediction of the Most Blessed Sacrament. And then place the Blessed Sacrament back in the tabernacle. This is something that was done on a regular basis in my day, years and years and years ago. But we can only come to things here one at a time. And as we do, then we start them and keep them going. Right now, we're only going to keep these, as far as you are all concerned, Vespers and Benediction to the bigger feasts. Later, very soon, however, before the summer is over, we will start doing this every Sunday, except the first Sunday, with Vespers, followed by benediction of the Most Blessed Sacrament, beginning at 5 o'clock. Not on Sundays now, but this Friday, yes, we will have this as coming Friday. There's quite a ceremony attached to all of this, and I'm sure that it will be helpful, and I hope for your edification. Saturday is the Feast of the Visitation of the Blessed Mother. She knew already what was to happen, and she had been told that it had already taken place as far as her cousin Elizabeth was concerned. And she took the trip, a young girl, going over the hill country. Imagine a young girl today alone taking a trip in the wilderness across the hill country, going from one place to the other. The chances for her to get from point A to point B today would probably be close to zero. But in her day, they had their problems. Yes, indeed, they did. But I don't think they equaled ours. Pray to the Blessed Mother that she too will pray for us and obtain for us all the graces that we need. Just by way of an announcement, you notice, of course, everybody has, the new doors in the church at long, 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 long last. They're here. You'll also notice that one of the inside doors is missing, and hopefully the next day or two the other one will be missing. And we're working on those and refurbishing those. Those are very, very old, old doors. And we prefer to bring them back to life rather than to destroy them and get something new. And if you just witness the lumber that is in those doors that once upon a time was just it was incalculable in importance. It was so common. The wood, the lumber in those doors, you cannot find a flaw in it. Today, to find that kind of lumber is impossible. But this was what was ours. I can't say, or could I say, the good old days, but whatever. At any rate, this morning, I want to talk about something that I have put off for a long, long time. But it is something that really and truly has to be talked about, and I might as well do it and get it over with, because it is important. My beloved people, these are just preliminary remarks. You know why you come here to Mass. And you know that it is a matter of faith, and that it is not a question that you prefer this to the other. That your coming here is based on something that is vastly more important. And I have very much, as we go along, I have very much tried to emphasize the necessity, the utter necessity of faith. It is because we are believing in something. It is because we believe that what we are doing is correct. Not that we, as I've said before, that does not put us one cut above the other in the bolt of cloth that we cut. We are no better than anybody. But we have come to understand what the truth really is. And because, and that's brought out in today's bulletin concerning the young man or the young woman who comes to the convent or the young man who comes to the monastery. We are all, just as we are, you are also obliged to seek the truth. And because you are conscientious about that in seeking the truth, that's why you are here. Now comes the point. It'll be probably a little shorter this morning in sermon time than other times, but that's all right. My beloved people, the fact for some of you, not all of you, for those of you who do not live close by here, those who come from other towns and other cities and even other states, let us spend a couple of minutes of our time this morning talking about our preparation and what we have to get done in preparing for that time when death overtakes us. We have had, since I've been here, more than one occasion where the individuals concerned were very conscientious, of course, and in believing and coming to church here for reasons that we know of. But as soon as death took over, coming from other parts of other cities, other states, or wherever, then the business of who is going to bury this person, where is this person going to be buried from, etc., etc., and all of the other complications that show up at that awesome time. For many of us, we have family who does not believe as we believe. We have family that does not agree with us. We come from churches elsewhere that we're told they are all on the bark of Peter, and whereas we are not. And therefore, the funeral arrangements should be made together with in harmony with the church that we are supposed to be going to, not this one. And so funeral arrangements can be very tedious in such cases. Now, why am I bringing this up? I suggest that any and every one of you who come from a situation that is not exactly as it ought to be, and besides that, this is not a parish church, as all of you know. We can't have a parish church. This is a chapel. I suggest that you take the time to write on paper exactly what you want done and how you want it done and where you want it done and who is to do it. All those details, don't leave any detail out. And I would also suggest, of course, that you sign it, date it and sign it. And I also suggest that you tell the closest one in your family that will assume responsibility at such a moment. I suggest that you make known to that person that you have done this, and you make known to that person that you want it respected, and you make known to that person where that paper is to be found, so that it won't be a question of hunting for it and uncertainty here and uncertainty there, maybe this and maybe that, maybe the other. Make it clear. It puts us in a rather embarrassing situation sometimes when we really don't know what to do. We want to do what's right, but we can't do what's right because we're not going to walk in while somebody else is officiating. And that can be difficult. There have been one or two cases where the minute certain people saw us walk in, for example, at the Rosary, people walked out. I know in the case of my own burial of my own sister-in-law, I was not permitted to go to church in the morning. I was not permitted to say Mass for her because she went to another sort of church. The permission for the Rosary was grudgingly given. And I was able to say the Rosary, but when I did, the pastor, while I was saying the Rosary, the pastor of the church waited outside, would not come in. And a man that was known to me quite well. We grew up together. So, you see, it can be tedious. Make sure that everybody knows what you have in mind. Then we can do something about it, and it will be all right. I'm not at all suggesting, please understand me. I'm not even beginning to suggest the fact that we have a cemetery here. You have your own plans made, and that's fine. That's absolutely all right. And we will cooperate, certainly, with those plans. You cannot imagine the mishmash of arrangements that can appear at such a time. And I do mean a mishmash. And I do know that even in the case, I know of one case, a certain family, truly backbones as far as a traditional observance in our area. I mean backbone people. Could not have a Mass said for the burial of a mother because the children, who were careless on the one hand about going to church, and others went to other churches, etc., because they refused to attend a Mass. And so there was no Mass said for that poor lady. But of course, Mass was said for her right here, in spite of the fact that she was not present. We do the best we can. As I, only last night, I didn't yell, but I did yell to Father Sebastian, bless his heart, because it's a question that we are living in catacomb conditions, my beloved people. I might even say in worse than catacomb conditions. But the people who had to go and resort to the catacombs in order to observe their faith, they were hiding from others because they did not believe as the others did. But at least the others believed in something, even if it was a golden calf. But they believed in something. Today, what is the situation? You have the question of the people who do believe having to fight those who believe in absolutely nothing. And so, my beloved people, I've told you, you have been touched by the grace of God. To do what is necessary in order to get ourselves ready for that moment when we shall come face to face with him who made us. We must not be afraid. I want to see soldiers out there. Now, I don't want to see soldiers like in some places they say, go out and start proving this and arguing, fight, 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 fight. I don't mean that. I just want you to stand up and say, here I am, Lord. That's all I want you to say. That's all that is necessary to be said. And that is that. You mustn't be afraid. Stay in the state of grace at all times. Those of you, you can see, those of you especially who live far away from here, I think that you can see the benefit now more and more, I hope, more clearly of the necessity of the little home chapels, the home altars. That's where you can get your sustenance when no other place can give it to you. That's where the multiplication of the loaves and fishes can take place for you. And my beloved people, it all comes by way of faith. I was talking to two men yesterday who know what the truth is, who see where the ill is, but who can do nothing about it. Nothing. And there's no one to instruct them. I brought them in this church. They were students of mine when they were boys. And I haven't seen them now since the time they were boys. Now they're old men. They came up here. They came right in here. I didn't invite them. I went to turn the lights on so they could see the church. They came in here in the sanctuary. They walked up here, and guess what they did? They went straight to the steps of the altar and knelt down. Because there is a power in there that is not to be seen in too many places anymore today. This is your faith, my beloved people. This is what you have to maintain no matter what. I've told you before, the worst is yet to come. And if you look around, you can see the worst is taking shape. You've got to guard your faith no matter what anybody else says. And the one thing that you have to keep it in mind, above all others, it cannot, it simply cannot, I'll repeat it, it simply cannot be said both ways. What is true over here cannot be different over here. If I have two apples here and two more apples here, I don't care what, there's only four apples. I can't turn over here and say I have two apples here and two apples here, and depending on how I look at things, I can have as many apples as I want. Now, one of these is not a fact. Only the other one is. Truth is solitary. It is one. Watch what you read. Watch what you hear. Watch what you look at. And don't judge a book by its cover. Look at the truth of the matter. We are in those days. And it has been said already to me only this week by some of these people and others over the phone or whatever, that this younger generation has lost contact. That's bad enough. But heavens, what is going to be with the generation that follows them? the little babies that we have in our arms. What is in store for them? Pray. That's why I'm so severe and getting more so every minute. It is time to put sweet talk away. My precious people, I hope I didn't upset you by bringing this to your attention, but it is only to keep things where they can be understood. And for goodness sake, let us know, you know, what your intentions are, so that we can be prepared. That's important. God bless you. You don't know how much I want you to be God blessed. Because I know that for some of you, most of you perhaps, maybe all of you, I know that family connections can be very tedious with you. I know that you're being laughed at. We are. I know that you're being called names. We are. I know that you've been told that you should go see a shrink. We certainly are. So, there we are, my beloved people. You are children of God. We are children of God. Go to Him and ask Him for everything you need to save your souls. And in the process, that you pray, leave it at that you pray for the welfare of those in your families who do not believe as you do. You are not going to win them over by going to them and bringing them a whole carload of books to read or magazines to read or bring to them all the argument that you can think of. You're not going to get the first base with that. Just simply pray. It's in the hand of Almighty God. And depending on their spiritual condition, and depending on how much love they have or would have, Almighty God will act accordingly. Tough times, my beloved people. Tough times. God bless you.